This is All Have a Beer and Talk, a podcast in which I, your host Gary, tells you about a couple interesting and informative stories that I read on the internet last week, all the time it takes me to drink one beer. Lots of technology-related stories get posted every day, so I take it upon myself to find those interesting ones, ones that you may have missed, because you have different priorities in life. So here I am, doing the show each week to give you a summary, because no one else will. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up. So by now, you are asking, where is that beer that I mentioned? Well, actually, I'm the one that's asking that, so let me kick in the randomizer, so it'll tell me which beer I'll be having this week. And we'll have results there about now. And here it is. It has a really long name. I'm going to be drinking Crazy Mountain Brewing Company's Locals Stash Reserve Series Mint Chocolate Stout, an 8% ABV American Stout. Crazy. After I had that mint IPA recently, I had speculated to my wife on the existence of someone using mint in a stout or porter. Ask and the randomizer provides. American stouts are like regular stouts, which are basically dark beers made using roasted malt or roasted barley, hops, water, and yeast. But we crafty Americans have pushed the style into exciting new directions, like amping up the hoppiness, aging it in bourbon or whiskey barrels, or by adding complementary flavors, such as chocolate or coffee, or mint in this case. This bottle is corked, so this should sound really interesting when I switch to the beer mic. B-double-O-Z-E, boo. Well, it looks like a stout. It is pitch black with a tan head. It smells like a stout. Actually, it smells like a mint brownie. Oh, boy. And it tastes like a mint brownie. One with a little bit of toffee in there. Interesting. This is a good stash, those crazy locals at Crazy Mountain Brewing Company. Excellent. Well, now that it has been decided that we average Americans can't afford adequate health care or insurance, you may be wondering, what can I do if I'm in pain? Lucky for us, Lifehacker informed me that there is an easy solution, albeit with the long-term side effects, and it involves raising your blood alcohol content all the way up to the legal limit of 0.08%. Yep, getting drunk can act as an analgesic, one even more effective than acetaminophen. The not-that-surprising results were revealed in a study published in the super-metal-sounding Journal of Pain. A study led by University of Greenwich's Dr. Trevor Thompson showed that alcohol, quote, delivers clinically relevant reductions in ratings of pain intensity, end quote. I took a look at the abstract, and it notes that when subjects were blowing a .08, there was a small elevation in their reported pain threshold and in their reported level of pain intensity, resulting in a mean reduction of 1.25 points on a 0 to 10 point scale. It seems that for each 0.02% increase in blood alcohol content, the pain threshold increased by 0.11 points, and pain intensity decreased by 0.20 points. Let me be upfront about this. If you are in pain, alcohol is not, repeat, not what you should be turning to. But if you're a little sore after doing yard work on a beautiful spring day, booze may be the best prescription. Last week, I talked about concrete bricks able to be manufactured on Mars using just Martian soil and compression, so this story may give you a sense of deja vu. Gizmodo reports that the European Space Agency has found a way to manufacture bricks on the moon using only lunar soil and sunlight. Proof of concept lunar bricks were cooked up by ESA's General Support Technology Program for use in constructing future moon colonies. Since the source of lunar soil is, well, the moon, the ESA had to work with simulated lunar soil, made by grinding regular Earth-sourced volcanic material to create a substance very similar to the fine-grained jagged particles that make up moon dirt. The ESA scientists then got together with the DLR German Aerospace Center in Cologne to cook the soil using natural sunlight focused into a tight beam by an array of 147 curved mirrors. A 3D printer table was used to lay down 0.1 millimeter layers of simulated lunar soil, with each layer being heated to 1000 degrees Celsius to melt the soil into a single mass. Using this process, it takes about 5 hours to make a 20 by 10 by 3 centimeter brick that resembles the integrity of gypsum. The bricks are undergoing structural tests to determine if the concept is feasible, but one initial minor structural issue has already come up. The bricks are warping along the edge, caused by the center of the bricks taking longer to cool down than the edges. The ESA engineers believe they can reduce that effect by printing the layers faster to reduce the buildup of heat in the center. With that problem licked, everything learned from these experiments will be further developed in the Rego Lights project. That is R-E-G-O as in regolith, which is moon rocks, and light as in L-I-G-H-T, that stuff that hits your eyes from the sun, which will then attempt to use the same manufacturing process in an airless, high-temperature environment, better stimulating conditions on the moon itself. Hooray, moon bricks! In the future, artificial machine intelligences will be everywhere, assisting us in multiple ways. In order to have effective human-machine interactions, these machines really need to know how to understand what we squidgy meatbags are trying to communicate. Not only the definitions of the words coming out from our mouths, but the inflections we give and the context in which we deliver our queries. One sarcastic remark may be taken literally, causing all sorts of problems. One way to teach these machine intelligences about the highly organic, contradictory, and often illogical way in which we communicate is by having a huge annotated database of contexts. A mighty undertaking, sure, but it seems some of that work has already been done by people posting on message boards, like Reddit. Specifically, sarcastic people posting on Reddit. You see, one odd quirk of communicating via text message boards has evolved naturally as a way to indicate social cues. Reddit users often tag their posts to make up for this lack of social context. For example, each sarcastic remark posted is usually concluded with a /sarcasm tag to indicate that the remarks are, in fact, sarcastic. Boing Boing has informed me of the existence of the self-annotated Reddit corpus, which is also known as Sark. Yes, that's the name of the bad guy from Tron, but spelled differently. Anyway, Sark has 1.3 million tagged sarcastic remarks, which is, quote, 10 times more than any previous subset, end quote, and grouped together with user, topic, and conversation context information, which is a goldmine of information for machine learning researchers. You wouldn't want a machine assistant to take you seriously when you say you want something to die in a fire and then make it happen, would you? See how a sarcasm detector could be useful? Yeah, right. To anyone listening, be it human or machine, I want you to know that I am not being sarcastic when I recommend that you check out this show's sponsor, Pulp and Deckel. Pulp and Deckel is Portland's only community handmade papermaking studio, and its mission is to keep the art of papermaking alive with workshops, demonstrations, and by creating and selling beautiful handmade paper products. Browse the rotating selection of papermaking workshops, check out membership options, inquire about custom orders, take an online recycled papermaking class, and check out our mobile papermaking plans by visiting pulpanddeckel.com. That is pulpanddeckle.com. Mention I'll have a beer and talk, and we might give you something special. It's time for another story in the continuing saga of Pizza Tech. Pizza Tech is that bizarre convergence of high technology designed mostly to get you to spend money on fast comfort foodstuffs, like pizza. Engadget tells the story of the leader of Pizza Tech, Domino's, and its latest technological pizza-related wonder. Domino's Pizza has teamed up with IFTTT to graft a connection between pizza delivery and the modern smart home. IFTTT stands for If This Then That. If This Then That is a free web-based service that people use to create applets, which are chains of commands crafted in order to get a desired result based on simple inputs. For example, you could program your smart light bulbs to turn on when you arrive at home, all based on the location provided by your smartphone. Domino's has made available its pizza tracker information, where it tracks your pizza order from receipt of order, preparation, cooking, and ultimate delivery, to IFTTT, for people to create sets of actions based on your pizza's journey from raw materials all the way into your mouth. Domino's has provided some example applets, which range from the mundane, such as having your porch lights turn on when your delivery is near, to the odd, such as deactivating your sprinkler system to keep your pizza delivery from getting wet, and alerting your Slack team that the pizza is out for delivery, or, quote, playing a song on your Android phone when your order is in the oven, end quote, to the bizarre, like activating your Samsung smart vacuum to clean your carpets before delivery. Because the pizza delivery person will judge you more on the state of how dirty your carpets are than the fact that you just ordered your pizza with triple amounts of every meat topping they have available, plus pineapple. And McDonald's has made another jump into the pizza tech fray to prove that clown burgers are still technologically relevant. Following on from their ridiculously over-engineered straw designed for drinking milkshakes all the way to the bottom, dubbed Straw, which I've talked about before, they have introduced a fork with prongs made from their french fries, dubbed the Frork. The Frork is a plastic handle in which fries are inserted to make a very ineffectual fork designed to let you sop up spilled sauces. Yes, this is real, and yes, it barely works. If you're interested, a limited amount of Frorks will be given away as part of a promotion for McDonald's new signature crafted recipe menu. Which is fitting since the items on the menu are loaded with toppings, just waiting to be ejected from the sandwich at high speed when you take your first bite. I barely go to the house that Ronald built anymore. Locations aren't too convenient to my regular driving routes, and I really only like McDonald's brekkie sandwiches anyway. But if I feel tired of life, I'll hit up a Mickey D's and try to grab a Frork. For the show, of course. Frork. Hey, ever heard of panspermia? It's the theory that life exists just about everywhere in the universe in the form of extremophiles, like everyone's favorite indestructible microscopic creature known as the water bear. These extremophiles hitch rides on meteors and comets, which eventually crash into planets. If the conditions are right, the extremophiles are fruitful and multiply on their new home. But look out, water bear. Seeds from the morning glory flower might also be capable of unprotected interstellar travel, according to Gizmodo. Biologists David Tepfer and Sidney Leach published results of a study of plant seeds and ultraviolet radiation in the journal Astrobiology. Over the past 20 years, there have been several experiments involving strapping various seeds on the outside of the International Space Station, then returning them to Earth. The aim of this was to see how much ultraviolet radiation seeds can take before they can no longer germinate. In 2009, a group of seeds from various plants, including tobacco and the flowering plant Arabidopsis thaliana, were left outside the ISS for 558 days, then brought back down to the surface for planting. 20% of the tobacco and the Arabidopsis successfully germinated, and it's this data that inspired Tepfer and Leach to go a little further. Knowing that morning glory seeds have thick seed coats and can survive decades in soil before germinating, they took tobacco seeds, Arabidopsis seeds, and morning glory seeds and blasted them with more UV radiation than is possible in space. For 300 days, the seeds experienced UV radiation set at the exact wavelength that damages DNA. Unsurprisingly, the tobacco and the Arabidopsis seeds were effectively cooked, but the morning glory seeds survived and germinated normally. Morning glory seeds might, quote, have mechanisms to repair essential cellular components, examples being DNA, RNA, ribosomes, membranes, etc., Tepfer speculated. Tepfer sees this research leading to ways of copying the seed's radiation-shielding ability and create space seeds capable of sending life as we know it out amongst the stars as a way of preserving Earth life from extinction. He says, quote, imagine dormant seeds being sent to exoplanets to release microbial life or the building blocks of life, even if the seeds themselves might not germinate and form plants. We humans should stay on Earth and clean up our mess, but during the years our species is alive and technologically competent, we should embrace our role as disseminators of life, perhaps using plant seeds loaded with microorganisms. So look out, crinoid and trifid space seeds. Make way for plant colonizers from Earth. Hey, some researchers got a whole bunch of crayfish drunk to see how they interact. For science! I love drunk science. According to The Verge, researchers from that party school, the University of Maryland, used crayfish to try to understand how social experiences changes how alcohol affects the brain. They took young crayfish and put them in a communal tank in groups of 50 to 100 other crayfish to let them get to know one another. One group was left in the communal tank until the start of the experiment, but the others were sent to solitary confinement for about a week. Then, party time. All the crayfish were moved into tanks spiked with alcohol. Ever wonder what it looks like when a crayfish gets drunk? Well, this study taught me. In the early stage, crayfish getting a little tipsy adopt an upright posture, holding their abdomens, then stretching their limbs out. As they get more crunked, they begin flipping their tails, eventually getting to the point where they're falling down drunk. They flop over while stretching and tail flipping and have trouble getting back up. You know, I've been there. Now, this is all hilarious, but what's the point of the experiment? Remember how some crayfish spent a lot of time with friends, and some had a lot of alone time? It appears that the more social you are when drinking, the faster you get drunk. The researchers know which neurons in the crayfish's brain are responsible for tail flipping, and they found that alcohol changes the excitability of those neurons. With the social crayfish, alcohol made the neurons fire easily, but with the loner crayfish, it didn't have as much of an effect. I think I've actually experienced this myself. When I'm drinking alone, I can tuck it away with the best of them, but when out with friends, I don't need nearly as many drinks to get wasted. So keep this in mind when going on a bar crawl. You'll get further if you go it alone. But where's the fun in that? Bet you think you know what this song is. But surprise, it's different! Hey, believe it or not, it's tough for me to keep making this show week after week. So how about lending me a hand? Here's some suggestions on how to help. First, my voice is for hire. I can do voiceover work, voicemail messages, mediocre acting, bad singing, and some adequate audio production. Got a show idea? I can help you refine it and make it a reality. If you feel you have a use for the best part of my body, which happens to be my voice and my brain, let me know. Email me at gary@pulpandpulpandecal.com. That is GARY@PULPANDDECALE.com. Rates are reasonable. And how about giving me 5 stars on iTunes? With more ratings, more people just might stumble upon my little show and give it a listen. The more subscribers I have, the more people I can entertain with my drunken ramblings. And if you believe my injection of beer and technical knowledge for about 15 to 20 minutes each week is worth at least $1 a month to you, you can become my patron at patreon.com/ihabitradio. That is patreon.com/ihabitradio. Come on, go there and throw some money at me. It's fun. You'll be joining some other kind folks that already support me. And to those guys, thank you! Oh, that fantastic mint chocolate stout is now all gone. Oh, okay, lastima. Well, that means that it is time for me to go. Please tell your family, friends, neighbors, animals, plants, aliens, ghosts, and whatever else has ears about the show, and that they can find it on Google Play Music, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and on Spreaker. And please send me feedback, story suggestions, and beer recommendations to gary@pulpandecal.com, or on the Twitters and Instagram at iHabitRadio, or even on the Facebook at facebook.com/iHabitRadio. It's time for me to go. I will see you in the future. Bye-bye!
Another alcohol-free party ends in shame. This little playlet has been brought to you by the Booze Council, reminding you to always stock up on alcoholic beverages for all your social occasions, because booze really satisfies.
Booze takes a dull party and makes it better.
Booze makes you popular and heals all wounds.
B-O-O-Z-E, booze.